This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a joy to be with all of you and to welcome you to this time of worship. Whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary, we are blessed to be together. I would invite you to take a moment to let us know that you're with us by registering your attendance. If you're online, there should be a link you can put in the chat to register that way. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of the row, and they may already be making their way down the row. And if you haven't yet had a chance to meet the folks who are sitting on the row with you, this is a great way to learn their names and make a new friend this morning. Just a few announcements as we gather together. This afternoon at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary, Vocal Arts Nashville will be performing Brahms' Requiem, and we want to invite you all to come back and experience that choral performance in person if you're able. Also, a reminder that the season of Lent is almost upon us, and it's a deeply important season in the life of the church, and it begins on Ash Wednesday, February 22nd. A great tradition in our congregation is that the night before, sometimes known as Fat Tuesday, we have a jazz mass at 6:30. Before that, we have a pancake supper. So we invite you to RSVP for that on the website. Let us know you're coming. It's free, but we want to make sure we have enough pancakes for everybody. So let us know that you're coming, and we'll celebrate that pancake supper and jazz mass on February 21st. Finally, it is such a joy. If you haven't received the Friday email, you may not have seen the announcement, but it's a joy to announce to you that we are going to be welcoming Reverend Shannon Baxter and his family into our community at West End. He is coming on to the staff as the pastor of Congregational Connection starting on March 27th, and we are just thrilled for you to get to know him and his family and for him to bring his gifts of ministry into our midst. So wanted to let you know that that is good news for us. Many of you have been reading through the Bible with me this year so far, and we find ourselves this week in the book of Leviticus. So whether you have read it before or not, I pray that this ancient book with all of its beauty and strangeness will speak to us this morning as we worship together.
Thank you. on this Sabbath day.
Let us seek a right relationship with God this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson is from Leviticus, 16th chapter, starting with the 29th verse, and we hear from the Lord. This shall be a statute to you forever. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall deny yourselves and shall do no work, neither the citizen nor the alien who resides among you. For on this day, atonement shall be made for you, to cleanse you. From all your sins you shall be clean before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall deny yourselves. It is a statute forever. The priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, wearing the linen vestments, the holy vestments. He shall make atonement for the sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the people of Israel once in the year for all their sins. And Moses did as the Lord had commanded. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a moment with all of the children. If you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come forward, please come join me up here. Since we have the rail closed for communion, you have to go around this way, meet me here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. I've had some people send me pictures of their children leaning in and watching it on live stream, so I know there are kids out there, and we wave to them. Glad you're joining us. Come on up. So glad to see you. Thanks for coming all the way up. We have a couple more. Anybody coming from the balcony? All right. Well, I want to tell you a story. It's a make-believe story. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Thomas, and his best friend was named Henry. And one day, Thomas went over to Henry's house to play. Henry had all of these cool toy monster trucks with big wheels, and they just had fun all afternoon playing with those monster trucks. Well, at some point, Henry went into the kitchen to get a snack. It was an apple, a very healthy snack. And while he was in the kitchen, Thomas was playing with the monster truck in his hand, and one of the wheels broke off. And Thomas felt terrible. He didn't mean to break it, but he did. But he decided, well, since Henry's in the kitchen, I think I'll just put this one back in the toy box and not tell Henry about it. So a couple days later at school, they were on the playground playing, and Henry said, you know, one of my monster trucks got broken, the green one, the one that you liked so much. I don't know how it happened. I think maybe my baby sister broke it, but I'm kind of sad that it's broken. And Thomas felt really bad because he was the one who had broken it, but he still didn't say anything. Well, that night when Thomas was in bed trying to go to sleep, he really had trouble going to sleep. Even his tummy hurt a little bit because he was really sad and upset with himself that he hadn't told Henry. So he decided the next day he would. So the next day, Thomas and Henry are on the playground, and Thomas says, Henry, I have to tell you, I was the one who broke that monster truck, and I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. And Henry said, well, that's okay. My mom was actually able to fix it, so it works just fine now. And I'm so glad you told me, because I thought you were acting a little weird. But now that you've told me and we know and it's all fixed, everything's okay. And they ran off to play kickball together. Reminds me a little bit of how important it is sometimes to say we're sorry, to be honest with our friends or people we love and trust and tell them if we've messed up and ask for their forgiveness. It was hard for Thomas to be friends with Henry while he was still holding this secret and he still felt so bad. But once he told Henry, they worked it out and it was okay. The story from the Bible is talking about how God wants us to be honest with God and not be afraid. So if we need to tell God, you know, I did something wrong, will you forgive me? God will always forgive us, and it will help us even feel closer to God. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much that you always, always, always love us. Nothing will ever change that. Help us to pray, to talk to you, to be honest with you, to tell you always how much we love you. Help us be ready to forgive other people too, so that we can always be living out your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie over there to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. I learned this past Friday that we have 177 people who are part of this congregation who have signed up to read the Bible together this year. Isn't that amazing? We had hoped that we would have 150 to sign up because it's our 150th year as a congregation. And lo and behold, we exceeded that and have 177. I'm hoping we still have 177 after this week. I've seen a few of you milling around the church or out and about this week, and some of you have sort of given me the eyebrow, like, what is up with Leviticus? How are we supposed to make sense of this book? It's difficult. It's somewhat strange to us. It seems to be coming from such a different context and a different culture, such a foreign world from what we're used to, with all of its talk of sacrifices and skin diseases and its perspective on women and sexuality and this unclean food and clean foods, and you can eat grasshoppers but you can't eat shrimp and you can't wear cotton and linen at the same time and all of this stuff. And it's easy to get into the middle of it and say, you know, I'm just going to wait and move on into Numbers. Well, Numbers isn't that much easier, let me just tell you now. I'll be getting into that. But this is the struggle that we're going to have as we go along through the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. There are going to be things that we bump into that are confusing to us, or we're not sure we can sign on to that. And that's part of the conversation that we're having with the scriptures. And as the theologian of the 20th century, Karl Barth, said, though we may not take every word literally, we need to take the scriptures seriously. These are texts. This text of Leviticus has been passed down to us from generation to generation. It's been called by the community of believers a sacred text, one that we expect God to speak through. And so we open it this morning and see what might it have to say to us in the midst of all the confusing stuff. What might it have to say to us? Well, in case you're not reading the Bible through the year this year, or maybe haven't really encountered the book of Leviticus, let me place it in just a little bit of context. In the book of Genesis, we have the origins of the story. In the book of Exodus, the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, end in Egypt. The end of Genesis, they find themselves living in Egypt. The beginning of Exodus, they are enslaved by the Pharaoh. And God calls Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And so, in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the next three books we're going to be looking at, the Israelites are on that journey. A journey from slavery to freedom. A journey from Egypt to the promised land. It's a long journey. It takes them 40 years. And so we can listen in on these books and listen for how God is shaping them as a people, how God wants them to be a unique and chosen people who will reveal things about who God is to the rest of the world, to all the nations. So we have the laws and the teachings and the things that God is using to shape them. And what we have in the book of Leviticus is the manual for the priests, the priest's handbook. There are 12 tribes of Israel. One of those tribes is the Levites, and the Levites are the ones who are designated to be the priests, to lead in worship as the people travel. As they go along through the wilderness, they have a tabernacle, a tent that they set up, and that's the place where they worship when they gather. So it's a priest's handbook, and it sort of reads like that, doesn't it? Did you know that we Methodist pastors have a handbook also? It's called the United Methodist Book of Worship. And you can look at it and some of the rituals and see it even says things like, the pastor shall raise their hands at this point. they shall lower their hands at this point. It goes into detail like that. Did you know that after we have communion today, our communion stewards are not just going to take the bread and dump it in a trash can? Part of our guidelines say that we are to either eat the bread or spread it out on the ground for the birds and the animals to eat. And the same with the juice. We're either supposed to drink it or pour it into the ground so that it's received once again by the earth and treated as sacred. There's symbolism in all that we do in worship. And that's part of what Leviticus is talking about. So this morning's text, coming out of chapter 16, is all about a particular holy day, the Day of Atonement, which our Jewish friends still commemorate as Yom Kippur. It usually happens in the fall. This is a day when all of the people of Israel are to gather together and together confess their sins before God and receive forgiveness and be cleansed. And they were to do this every year, to be forgiven and cleansed and given a new beginning. So how it's described in the early part of chapter 16, it starts with the priest who first makes a sacrifice in the tent of meeting for himself and all of his household. It's a recognition that the priests were human too, that they too committed sins and were broken and were not perfect. So they offered a sacrifice for themselves first. And then the priest would bring out to the tent of meeting two goats. He would cast lots, roll the dice, to see which one would be goat number one and which would be goat number two. Goat number one gets taken into the tabernacle to be sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins of all the people. There was a theology and understanding then that somehow the blood of life poured out on the altar was cleansing for the people. So that would be goat number one. Goat number two, the priest would lay his hands on the goat and symbolically collect all of the sins and all of the failures and all of the burdens and brokenness of the people and lay them on the head of the goat. And then that goat would be led out into the wilderness and set free. Our English word scapegoat comes from this image. So imagine that you are one of the people, having come to that time of worship with your own burdens, with your own regrets, with your own guilt, your own struggles, and with all of the people around you together, you name them before God, and then you watch as they are carried away forever, forgiven and forgotten. It's a powerful image. Now, as Christians, we look through this particular text, this ritual, through a unique lens. If we go to the New Testament, very late in the New Testament, we get to the book of Hebrews, which we'll be getting to by the late fall this year. And the writer of Hebrews looks upon some of these ancient rituals of the people of Israel and reinterprets them through the lens of Christ. And he says that Christ is like that goat who takes upon itself all of the sins and all of the burdens of the world and carries them away forever. We sang already, or we heard the choir sing this morning, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. It's a reference also to the Passover lamb, a similar moment, a similar act of worship. So we believe that somehow through the mystery of Christ's life and death and resurrection, we have received grace and forgiveness, and all has been made right with God. And it happened once and for all. When Jesus died on the cross, it offered that grace to everybody for all time. So we don't have to keep coming again and again and again. Or do we? I think we know. We preach, we read in the scriptures, we know in our heads that through the grace of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. God has long ago declared us very good and claimed us and forgiven us. The struggle comes with being able to accept that forgiveness, I think. I can't tell you how often I have felt for myself or I have heard others say to me, I know God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself. And so I think even now we need these rituals, we need these practices, we need these moments and ways of naming before God our need for grace, our brokenness. Like the little boy in the story, his friend never stopped loving him, but until he actually was honest with his friend, there was something between them. There's something that we need in the act of confession. It's not that we're earning God's forgiveness. It's not that God's withholding forgiveness until we say something. God's forgiveness and grace has already been granted. It's already ours. But we confess to let it go, to make room to receive it again. There's power in this moment on the Day of Atonement because it's not just individual confession either. It's the community confessing. And there are things that we need to confess from time to time as a people, as a culture, as a church, as a society. And there's power in naming that and confessing it and being able to receive forgiveness and start anew. So the invitation that I hear in this strange and ancient text from Leviticus is to name for myself those burdens that I'm carrying, those things that I am still holding on to that I feel guilt or even shame for. Not about who I am, but about things that I've done, things, words that have come out of my mouth that I wish I could take back, or times when I have remained silent when I now wish I had spoken, actions I've taken that I didn't mean to, but they did harm to others, or those things that I've done that I did mean to harm others. It's so easy to carry those things around forever. But God gave the Israelites an opportunity to lay those burdens down and to watch them being taken away in the wilderness. And through Jesus Christ, God gives us that same opportunity. In a few moments, we're going to be coming to the table. And we have a loaf of bread and a cup. And in that loaf of bread, we're going to hear the words of Jesus saying, "This is my body, my very self, given for you, so you don't have to hold on to that shame anymore. This is my blood poured out in love and grace for you and for all people, that you and all the world would know that God loves you unconditionally." And the invitation today, I think, is for us to come to this table. And whatever burdens you're carrying, whatever guilt you may be feeling, whatever you're holding on to lay it down. And let God take it away. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you and place those in the offering plates when they're passed in a few moments. This morning, we remember Brian Payne and his family, who are mourning the death of his sister-in-law, Amanda Hutchinson Payne, who passed away on January 25th in West Memphis, Arkansas. Services were held there on Saturday, February 4th. We also remember the family and friends of longtime West End member Gail Jennings Douglas, who passed away on January 28th in Arkansas. Memorial services will be held at a later date. And finally, we remember Jared, Ashley, Emma, and Avery Smith and their family, who are mourning the death of Jared's father, Rick Smith, who died on Saturday, January 28th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace, you have seen us in all of our brokenness. You have witnessed all of the ways we have fallen short, and yet you still love us. You still desire to be in relationship with us. We give you thanks for your grace offered to us through Jesus Christ, which continually extends an invitation to turn around, to seek healing, to draw closer to you. This morning, we remember those who have not heard or responded to your invitation. For those who are consumed by shame or guilt. For those who hurt others by intention or omission. And for those who choose to ignore your call to live in peace with you and their neighbors. May they be awakened to another way, a way of love and hope and joy. We remember, too, those who suffer this day, those who are living in pain, those who are close to death. We remember those who grieve and those who are in despair. We pray for all who are hungry and for those who do not have adequate shelter. And this day especially, we pray for those who have been victims of violence. Bring healing, O God, to their lives and to the lives of their families. Lead us in the ways of Jesus, O God. Help us to live our lives in such a way that we reflect your love and your grace in all that we do. And we ask all of this in his name. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the pews. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous with us.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending
hymn. Be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who walked among us and showed us the way of life. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on all who are gathered in this hour together. Pour it out on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet.
Of children of God, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This bread which we raise is the body of Christ, broken and given for you and for me and for all the world, the bread of life. And this is the cup of grace, the blood of Christ poured out in love for you and for me and for all the world for forgiveness and new beginnings. The table is set. Our host, Jesus Christ himself, invites all who are here and all who are not here to his table. This is not the table of our denomination or of our congregation, but of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all are welcome at this table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, just a few words to help you along the way. We will be served at the altar rails. Our choir will come first, followed by those in the transepts and balcony. And then those of us in the nave are welcome to come down the center aisle. Take your place at the altar rails. They go all the way around, so make sure to find a spot where you can be and be comfortable. If you will have your hands open, that will let our servers know you have yet to receive. And then after receiving the elements, you're welcome to stay and pray as long as you would like at the altar rails. All of our communion elements are gluten-free. If you are physically unable or would rather not come forward for communion, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with these elements, which are also gluten-free. If you'll just wave at me and let me know, I'll come and serve you in your seats. This is the table of grace. Come, leave your burdens here, and return full and free. Let us come and partake of the grace of the Lord. excitement to welcome you all to the Table of Grace. I forgot to mention that as we come forward, we have an opportunity to support one of the missions of the congregation. There's more information in the bulletin, but our mission this month that we support as we come to the table is the 30-hour famine, which our youth group will be participating in at the end of this month. And your gifts today will go to support two ministries locally, the villages of Glencliff, as they seek to build a new kitchen and to purchase a washer and dryer. And the other is a global ministry, World Vision, which helps bring food and clean water to children around the world. So if you didn't have an opportunity as you came up for communion, you'll have other opportunities throughout the month to support this wonderful ministry with your giving. Now it is time for us to give thanks for the complete grace that we have received at this table. So I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for what we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.
Thank you.
And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us go from this place filled with God's grace to share it with the world, to proclaim it, to live it, and to show it in all that we do. Go in peace. Amen.